What we're going to consider now is the faith of Jesus Christ, and I think this will help to answer quite a number of questions. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'd mentioned before that the accomplished work of Christ changed the nature of faith forever, and it did. Before Christ, as a reminder, faith was limited to each person's potential, ability, or capacity to believe God. And they all had different tasks and series and commissionings that they needed to carry out. It was very specific for them. After the accomplished work of Christ, a believer's ability to believe God became the same as Christ. This potential is the faith of Jesus Christ to do the works of Christ and walk in newness of life as more than conquerors. It's fantastic. Faith pivoted on the crucifixion and 3 days later, the resurrection, which changed faith. This change was not applied until Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. That means no one had access to it. The faith of Jesus Christ is the basis of the new birth, elevating unsaved man, born in trespasses and sins and without God and hope, to his heavenly position and identity at God's right hand. How powerful is the faith of Jesus Christ to do that? It's amazing. By grace, man became a son of God with eternal life. The gift of Holy Spirit is the result and embodies the accomplished work of Christ in the crucifixion and God's power in the resurrection. I'm going to say that again. The gift of Holy Spirit is the result and embodies the accomplished work of Christ in the crucifixion and God's power in the resurrection, because God had to get Jesus up from the dead. Now, to us, the faith of Jesus Christ is his accomplished work given for our salvation and potential. The faith of Jesus Christ is his accomplished work given to us for our salvation and our potential. We talked about how Hebrews 11 highlights some of those individuals that believed God prior to the accomplished work of Christ. And these great cloud of witnesses are an amazing illustration of what it means to believe God. It helps us. The witness of faith builds to Jesus Christ, but that's the whole point, that these individuals are building towards this chapter 12 and the faith of Jesus Christ, where he took faith to the pinnacle of human capacity. Hebrews 12, 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We look unto Jesus. Jesus emphasizes his earthly ministry. He was the humiliated one, Jesus. He was the crucified one. He was the man from Nazareth. That's why we look unto Jesus. He's the author, or I like one translation, the founder and finisher or perfecter of the faith. He perfected it. The faith of Jesus Christ allows us to access the fullness of the Spirit of Christ within. It allows us to access the fullness of it. In the Old Testament, they weren't given the fullness of the Spirit. After Adam, it was only portioned out based, again, on what God asked people to do and their own capacity, what they could handle. Look at John chapter 3, please. The Gospel of John chapter 3. Abraham and Moses and all the others could only access a portion of that Spirit by faith, because prior to the accomplished work of Christ being offered, no one had access to the new nature of Christ within. It was not accessible because it was not offered yet. That Christ within us is so fantastic. It has no sin in it whatsoever. The sin nature had not yet been crucified prior to the accomplished work of Christ. So all these individuals, all they had was that sin nature, and then the Spirit portioned to them, like I said, based on them, that person and what God called them to do. Here in John 3 is a very revealing truth. Verse 34. For he, John 3:34, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. God did not give him the Spirit by measure. In other words, he could take the capacity of the Spirit of God as far as he wanted. He had no sin. He was a sinless man. There was nothing hindering him. So he could take the Spirit of God and walk with unbelievable, remarkable, supernatural, stupendous power. He had no sin. That's amazing. Prior to Christ, the Spirit portion depended on what that person could handle and what God called them to, like I said. Faith is holy. It's spiritual, and that's important to understand. And Jesus Christ could bring faith, believing God, to its limit because he had just the Spirit without measure. For the Christian, understanding faith is not, like I said, an academic exercise in semantics. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's not just about knowing the meaning of words. Oh, no. God has to show us. God has to reveal it to us by that Spirit within in combination with the Scripture. Now, when we're dealing with the Greeks, the New Testament, as well as the Old, but specifically the New Testament translated from Greek, the Greeks had a word for everything. But even language has limitations to what it can communicate. That's why the Spirit of God must be involved to show us the truer and deeper meaning of the faith of Jesus Christ. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at verse 5. That your faith, the faith that they have, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is fantastic. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which includes the faith of Jesus Christ. It's part of the mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Back to verse 5. It says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. The word in means within the sphere of the wisdom of men. In other words, we cannot understand faith within the wisdom of men. Can't do it. It must be within the sphere of the power or the potential of God. That's how it's understood. Those two little words in there, in the wisdom of men, in the power of God, are within the sphere of the wisdom of men, cannot be understood. It must be understood within the potential power of God himself. And it is part of the mystery. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, please. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The household of faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, is all part of the mystery. And this faith of Jesus Christ is still hidden to most people. That's why it's still a mystery. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. We hold the mystery of the faith. We hold it within the sphere of a pure conscience, within the sphere, if you will, of a pure conscience. And the word pure means no admixture. No worldly wisdom. It's not about just knowing the Greek words. God has to be involved to show us. And it's within a pure conscience. And a conscience, what it refers to here is a person's habits to accept and reject right and wrong. Whatever someone's habits of accepting or rejecting right and wrong determines so much on their approach to understanding. That's how we hold the mystery of the faith. Look at Acts 17, please. We're going to look at Paul on Mars Hill, the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill in Athens. And this was where all the Greek academics and intellectuals, the intellectual elites of the day, hung out and discussed things. And the Apostle Paul goes there and talks with them. And what we're going to see is how God has been offering since Pentecost the faith of Jesus Christ. Acts 17. And Paul is speaking to the academics and the intellectual elite of the day. And he says in verse 31, because he, God, hath appointed a day in which he, God, will judge the world in righteousness by that man is Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Oh my goodness. That is fantastic. See the word given there? The word given? The word given means to offer. It's to offer, like to hold out to somebody. Now, I know this is impossible, but just as an illustration, I hold out my pen, right? I'm holding it out. That's what that word means. You hold it out to or near somebody so they can take it. He's holding it out to them. God is holding out and offering to all men. The word assurance is faith. It's the only place it's translated assurance. He's holding out to them the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul is trying to reach these folks. Man. And when, verse 32, and when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Again, can't understand the faith of Jesus Christ within the sphere of the wisdom of men. Not going to happen. So Paul departed from them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So some people believe. That's nice. Look at Romans 12, please. See, the faith of Jesus Christ is measured out to each individual. You have the full capacity, not 60%. And the faith of Jesus Christ isn't like we're all dipping from the same bowl. There's only one faith of Jesus Christ that we're all grabbing from. You personally have the faith of Jesus Christ in its completeness and totality. That's what's given you salvation and the potential to walk like Christ. So do I. That's significant. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Paul is speaking to the born-again believers of Rome. And he's saying, don't think more highly. To think more highly in this context would be to reject grace and be conformed in the same to the world and the works of men. That would be to be think more highly. To think soberly here is to accept grace and have sound judgment based on the faith of Jesus Christ. God had dealt, God had distributed this measure of faith. He has offered it to the world. He's offering it today. He's holding it out. And there's tremendous potential in it. Look at Romans chapter 10, please. Some might be thinking about the manifestation of the Spirit. It talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, where it mentions faith. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. The manifestation of the Spirit includes faith. It means the potential of Christ within that God energizes, based on what he revealed by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And there's also faith as a fruit in Galatians 5:22. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the faith by Spirit. It's all Spirit. It's not physical. And the fruit of the Spirit is that visible confidence and assurance that comes from the Spirit of God at work in people. And you've seen it. And fruit of the Spirit is always for you first. For you and I to recognize that assurance and that confidence that we have. And then other people read that fruit in our life. But it comes from the Spirit as God works in us. Now, how does someone receive the faith of Jesus Christ? How does someone receive it? It's a great question. The faith of Jesus Christ. Man does the same thing he did before. He believes God. Man believes God. But then God creates faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. That's right. That's why things changed with the accomplished work of Christ. God didn't give you and I the faith of Moses. He didn't give us the faith of Noah. He gave us the faith of Jesus Christ. His believing Jesus to accomplish the work of God that God sent him to do, all the way up to the crucifixion, was packaged. And that potential is in you and me. Wow. How does somebody get this? Well, look at Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 8, please. Romans chapter 10. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, and even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, or the faith, which we preach. The word here, again, is that Greek word rhema, transliterated R-H long E-M-A, rhema. And it's referring to something that's been stated, like an announcement or a military order. And we use the illustration of Genesis 1 when God said, let there be light. That would be an example of rhema. That's not the entire word of God. It's a part of a whole. Well, what is the rhema of faith? What is that specific part of the word that man is to believe? What is it? Verse 9 is what it is. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and it doesn't say Christ, it says the Lord Jesus, meaning emphasizing his earthly passion, what he suffered, what he accomplished prior to the resurrection, and shalt believe in thine heart that God, raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's amazing. That's the rhema of faith. That's the specific word, if you will, that applies. Look at Romans chapter 1. Let's see this, how Romans 10:9 fits with Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. These verses never cease to amaze me. These are the verses that ignited the heart of Martin Luther during the Protestant Reformation, and so much truth ensued. We're going to look at Romans chapter 1 and then chapter 10 and see how they fit. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Man still needs to believe. To the Jew or Judean first, and also to the Greek or Gentile. Here it is. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed within the gospel. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There's that phrase again. From faith to faith. From faith to faith. That first faith is man believing God in the specific category of Romans 10:9. That first faith, when it says faith to faith, that first faith is referring to man believing God and believing the word of faith, which is regarding Jesus Christ, confessing him as Lord, and believing that God raised him from the dead. That's fantastic. Then it says, to faith, all the way unto. That word to means all the way unto in reaching faith. That second faith is the accomplished work of Jesus Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ. God has to take it that final step. Man believes God, confesses Jesus as Lord, believes that God raised him from the dead, and then God takes it the final step. Thou shalt be saved. That's that second faith. From believing God to the faith of Jesus Christ, and that's how it happens. And again, that phrase, the just shall live or keep on living through faith. The faith of Jesus Christ represents his believing God to the uttermost. And again, he was sinless, so he never faltered. He was not like Moses or Abraham, who faltered, who sinned. He took it to the uttermost. The Holy Spirit within us is sinless because he lived a sinless life. The Spirit within us is sinless. God packaged and gave and applied to us the believing work of Christ. That's what got us into heaven. That's what provides the potential to walk in the newness of life. Now, let me be clear. To walk with the Lord, being born again, still requires us to believe God. Absolutely. But it's not limited to Rico anymore or whoever you are. It's not limited to us. It's our potential to believe God, to love, to hope, to have compassion, to have care and comfort for others is now at the measure of Christ. That's amazing. Faith is a noun. It's an action noun. It has believing at its base. Look at Galatians chapter 3. The difference with the faith of prior to the accomplished work of Christ to the faith after the accomplished work of Christ is faith is no longer limited to the individual. Faith now is the measure of Christ, the full potential. Galatians chapter 3. But this wasn't always accessible. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Yeah, everybody sinned. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. There it is. That's Romans 1:17. From believing God to the faith of Jesus Christ. But before the faith, as the text came. Well, what faith is it talking about? It just says it in the previous verse. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. Before the faith of Jesus Christ came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith that should afterwards be revealed. Wow. We were shut up, held back, if you will. That word kept means under military guard. And the word shut up, one translation has it, imprisoned. We couldn't access the faith of Jesus Christ prior to when God offered it. We were kept under the law. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The negative side of the law was that we were under military guard and we were imprisoned. It was restrictive. The law was restrictive. But there's a positive side to the law. The law was our schoolmaster. And a schoolmaster in both the Greek and the Roman cultures refers to a tutor who would, as a guardian, teach and guide young boys until they reached adulthood. So the negative side of the law was it's restrictive. The positive side was is it teaches. There's plenty of lessons. Today, without the law, what we have is the Holy Spirit guides us in understanding God's word, because the law is done. Romans 10:4 says that Christ is the end of the law. It's no longer in effect. Verse 25, but after the faith is come, now it's being offered, the faith of Jesus Christ, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you're all the children of God by faith in or of Christ Jesus. It's the faith of Jesus Christ that has allowed us to be children of God. Fantastic. I'm using the English word building. Now, the English word building, B-U-I-L-D-I-N-G, can refer to the action of construction as a verb. But the word building can also refer to the finished product as a noun. When Jesus was on earth, he was constructing, if you will, accomplishing the work that God sent him to do. It's like Jesus was building his accomplished work. It wasn't done yet. By the time it gets to us, he's no longer doing it anymore. Now it's a building. Now it's the faith of Jesus Christ as a noun. The believing of Jesus became the faith of Christ. So the depth of this is fantastic. Because he is no longer working or believing God to redeem mankind. Look at John chapter 19, please. In the Gospel of John chapter 19, Jesus Christ puts closure to this process. When on the cross, he utters these words in John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He said, "It is finished." What was finished? Our redemption for our salvation and our potential. It was all done. It cannot be added to. The believing of Jesus became the faith of Christ. The believing of Jesus to take that Spirit of God to the uttermost level in believing God became the faith of Christ. because he's no longer believing God to achieve our salvation. It's over. It is finished. It's done. But yet we act sometimes as if it's not done. When we fall into condemnation or judgment, criticism that often is levied on us by the world and others, all that was handled at the cross. Let me ask you a question. How many of you that graduated from high school are still believing to graduate? Makes no sense, does it? In other words, would you go back to your high school classroom and try to fulfill your schedule and go to your locker and do all that? Why? It's a part of your life. It's done. It's finished. Well, the same thing with Christ. Why do we act as if he wasn't crucified? He was crucified. It's finished. That is a significant truth. Look at Romans chapter 3, please. Here in Romans chapter 3, in verse 20, we read, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Justification is to be released legally in order to be right with God. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." There it is. He finished it. "Unto all and upon all them that believe." Everybody's included. God's offering it. Acts 17. "For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all were dead in trespasses and sins. But we believed God unto the faith of Jesus Christ, which provided for us salvation and the potential to walk like him." Justification is that legal standard to be right or acceptable to God. Adam's sin had us completely weighed down. Everybody since Adam and Eve. But the faith of Jesus Christ tipped the scale in our favor forever. We are legally justified. Therefore, we do not have to succumb to the judgments of the world. That's right. Look at Galatians chapter 2, please. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ." There it is again. "And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Wow. Look at Romans chapter 14. Now, what happens if an individual is not fully convinced about the faith of Jesus Christ, that it's done, that it's completed? Well, we don't judge them because people perhaps are still figuring it out. But there's nothing to add. There's nothing to take away in our life that is going to change or alter. It is finished. Nothing. And at some point in our journey in this life, it's vital that we come to that conclusion and live by that standard. Here in Romans 14, it's talking about people that are weak in faith. It says, Romans 14, verse 1, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." Weak here means without strength. They don't have strength in the faith of Jesus Christ or the household faith. It doesn't mean that they're weak people. It means that they're weak in the accomplished work of Christ. It's not that it requires more study. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that they don't derive their strength, their spiritual nourishment and strength from the accomplished work of Christ. That's all it means. They think that they have to add something to their life, or they have to take something away from their life. And that's what this chapter is dealing with. Strong in faith is to understand the accomplished work of Christ is grace, with no merited work needed to add to it. I don't have to not do this or do this in order to help perfect what Jesus accomplished on the cross. That doesn't mean that it's a license to do whatever we want. That's not what the word says at all. But it means there's nothing to add to it. The strong in faith are those that add nothing to with their works or take away from, meaning abstaining from something, to the accomplished work of Christ. It's done. Look at James 2. We'll be back here to Romans, but look at James 2. Hebrew James, please. James writes in James chapter 2, verse 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons." That's right. The faith of Jesus Christ is not having respect to persons. And a respect to persons is to judge the worth or the value of people based on earthly standards. And the standards are ad infinitum. To respect persons is to judge a person's value or worth based on some earthly standards. That's not God's heart at all. So we don't do that. And if people are still figuring out, we're not judgmental of them. Keep teaching, keep loving, but let people figure it out. Back to Romans 14. You know, James talks about faith without works is dead. What that's referring to is demonstrating faith to others. That's all it means. It's demonstrating that faith. When someone has that belief in God, in the accomplished work of Jesus Christ, they demonstrate it. That's would be somebody who is strong in faith. And we can see that in Romans chapter 14 at the end of the chapter. It says, verse 21,
"It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak."
In other words, if what we're doing is a stumbling block to somebody else, we withhold that. We withhold that. Hast thou faith? Yeah, we have the faith of Jesus Christ. That work is done. Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. In other words, I know I can eat meat and it doesn't affect the faith of Jesus Christ. But perhaps for somebody else, it's offensive or it's a challenge to them. Well, then I might withhold in their presence. But in my private life, I can eat meat if I want to. That's what it's talking about. And the meat and the wine are all representative for whatever the case may be. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith of sin. What's the sin here? The sin is knowingly putting a stumbling block in others' way. You see? The strong in faith, they lift up their brother and don't put stumbling blocks in their way. We then that are strong. The context is faith. Weak in faith, strong in faith. Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And again, it doesn't mean they're weak people. It just means that they're not strong in the accomplished work of Christ and not to please ourselves. Man, that is the way we should function. Let's close in Ephesians, please. What should our expectation be with the faith of Jesus Christ? Because now we have the capacity to carry out his works. Well, here's one way of stating it. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed, God did, in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have boldness. We have access. We have confidence to God by the faith of Jesus Christ. That should be our expectation. Not turn from God, not run from God, but that should be our expectation. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Watch this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what we want. That you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's our expectation. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, because we have the faith of Jesus Christ, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Wow. That should be our expectation regarding the faith of Jesus Christ, that he will do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, that we have boldness and access and confidence through the accomplished work of Christ that has not only given us salvation, but has also given us the potential to walk like him and present the world what it is to walk like Christ.